In the beginning, they say there were two in the garden. That God Almighty had started the world with two. And they were there with all the wild things. Trees blossoming with every kind of fruit. Sparkling water springing from the ground. And creatures with fur and scale and wings, creeping and crawling and flying in great abundance. They say that in the Garden of Eden, there was everything good. But Adam was perplexed. There was no order in the garden. Animals run amok without names. Plants grew into one another into brambles. And this concerned him. So one day, right around sunset, he crawled onto a small hill overlooking the garden with his mate. And he said, I think we should name them. We should name the animals and the plants and maybe even the minerals. And as he sat scratching his beard, his beloved said, but they have names. He looked at her sideways with a little bit of disgust. Because once again, she had been sleeping with the animals. Although he wanted her to sleep with him. At night, she would sneak out and stalk the hoofed ones. She would climb into hollowed out logs and sometimes into the caves with furry ones, coming back with sticks and straw in her hair and smelling pungent of goat, snake, and vole. What do you mean they have names? Well, they all have names. They have names of their own. Languages all unto themselves. I can hear them. Each and every songbird has its own language. Even the rabbits communicate through their noses. They all have names that they call one another. It's not for us to name them. Adam went back to his thinking. He didn't buy this answer from Lilith. He was convinced everything needed to be organized. As for Lilith, she continued to stay curious, noticing every little thing she could about the ones who moved through the forest, and especially the tree that was at the center that she was told was inedible, unnibblable. She could eat, taste, devour anything in the garden except that one tree. And she was so curious about that. But before she could push that issue, her and Adam had a fight. It was one of those lovers' quarrels that was about nothing and then turned into something. And pretty soon words were spoken with such harshness that Eve said she was leaving. She knew that there was something beyond Eden's gates. That wildness couldn't stop just there. That there was something beyond. And she wanted to go find out what that was. And if she wasn't welcome in the garden with Adam making all of the rules, she would go find a place where she could make rules of her own. So she swept out of the garden into an uncharted territory. And there she found a cave and called it home. Out there with no one to answer to, no one watching over her, she allowed herself to be in her natural state. Staying up long after the sun went down, building fires and dancing around, watching her shadow twist and twirl against the high walls of the cave. She began to make sound and sing, and soon she wasn't alone. Her dancing and merrymaking attracted all kinds of creatures that lived at night, the nocturnal ones, who had wide eyes, could see in the dark. You could say that she entertained a wild party, ecstatic and drunk on inclusivity, naming nothing, allowing all expression. Word got back to Adam that there was a party going on, and he wasn't invited. And this disturbed him. It also disturbed some of the angels that were supposed to be taking care of things down here. So Adam asked for the angels to go to Lilith and tell her to come home. But she wouldn't. She couldn't. She had all new friends and a whole new world to explore. And after all, she was the original creatrix. She was fertile and birthing all kinds of never-before-seen creatures that were decorating the world beyond the Garden of Eden. So Adam complained to the God Almighty, who plucked from Adam a rib and created a new beloved, his second wife, who was more a part of him than a her of her own. And Eve very much loved the garden and stayed away from the tree at its center. As time went on, Lilith's power to shapeshift increased, learning from the creatures how to fly, how to run, even how to change shape into another animal. One bright morning, after a night of ecstatic dancing, in a trance, she turned herself into a gorgeous serpent and crawled her way back into the Garden of Eden unnoticed. And there she found Eve, her replacement, and whispered into her ear, "There's something more for you. There's something more." This whisper opened a deep curiosity in Eve about what could be more. Eve had never heard an animal speak to her before, and when it suggested that she taste the apple to gain all the knowledge she would need to know, she was both excited and terrified. So she went to Adam. She told him what she had heard, and Adam shook with fear. "The Almighty does not want us eating from that tree," he said. "Anything else but that." But as the days passed and the fruit ripened on that tree, it was as if Eve could taste the flowers inside the fruit, and her desire to know more, to taste more, to feel more, grew and grew. Until finally, she gave in to her wild luster and plucked the fruit and brought it back to Adam. "Taste it. Taste it with me. Then we'll know." Some blame Eve. Some blame Lilith. Some, the apple itself, for symbolizing curiosity as the beginning of damning a woman's life. And that is how that story goes.